Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Game number 1,000 for Paul Stastny, game with a 1,000-pound weight off the Winnipeg Jets' shoulder with tonight's convincing victory over the Vancouver Canucks, a 5-0 victory for the Winnipeg Jets. Certainly one of the more dominant efforts as of recent memory and maybe of all season long, a much-needed win for the Winnipeg Jets, getting that 5-0 victory, a second shutout in his last three games for Connor Hellebuck, and the top line for the Winnipeg Jets. Absolutely dominant. With Dave Minuk, with Ezra Ginsberg, I am your host, Drew Mindell. The Jets, as I mentioned, with a 5-0 win. Gentlemen, good to see you on this Tuesday night. A good victory for the Winnipeg Jets.
All I want to talk about right now is that clean-shaven look. Let's go.
Oh, we already did in the pre-show. We had a little pre-show meeting. I told Drew, very hard to take him seriously. I said, I don't recognize him. He's so suave.
That's me, Mr. Rico Suave. That's me in a nutshell. Exactly right.
You go electric or do you go handheld, Drew?
Say that again. I didn't hear what you said.
You go electric or did you go handheld? Like, did you go with the old Bic, the old Gillette?
No. I went with the electric, and then I just cleaned it up with a little bit of a Bic afterwards. You know, that kind of thing, just to make sure that it looks appropriate for the good people joining us in the audience who are clearly not used to seeing me without any facial hair. But this is what I look like, folks. Run away, scream, whatever your default reaction might be.
It looks good. I like it. It's nice and clean, nice and fresh.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it was truthfully, I was just going to trim the beard, but then I figured in for a dime, in for a dollar. What's the difference at this point in time? Might as well shave it off and then I'll grow it right back. Well, the playoffs are about to begin. That's what I'm doing it for. I got to get my playoff beard on. Who knows how long the playoffs are going to last? I might be clean shaven again in another, 5-6 games or so. But for now, Winnipeg Jets, a much needed victory tonight. My father just texted to say that he also likes my clean shaven look. So that's nice. Thanks, Dad. Appreciate that. But, the Jets, after last night against the Vancouver Canucks team that, still, I guess, had something to play for mathematically last night, tonight they had nothing to play for at all. The Jets needed the 1 point to clinch third spot in the North Division. They did so. They got a good victory, a good performance, and for a team that's desperately in need of some good vibes, they got that tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you mentioned the 5-0 win and, the Connor Scheifele-Wheeler line, obviously, guys, was just dominant, right? Like, that reminded you of, last year and the way they played at times. And, I agree with you 100%, Drew. Like, this game is only meaningful in the sense that the Jets assured that they're going to finish third place and face the Edmonton Oilers. But aside from that, I mean, yeah, Vancouver is completely out of it. They just looked awful tonight. And let's be honest, guys, like the Jets deserved more than one goal last night, right? And obviously, I wasn't able to be on the post-game show with you guys last night, but, I caught some of the game and all the highlights. And this Jets team is just simply better. And yeah, the Canucks have injuries and, no Elias Pettersson and other players. And, Hellebuck, preserved that shutout. JT Miller had a really good chance, Dave, with just a couple minutes left in that game, right? But, I love that Mason Appleton gets rewarded. Paul Stastny made an incredible saucer pass in the first period to Appleton. And Appleton had a short breakaway and, didn't score, obviously, on Holtby. But I thought Appleton was good all night. And I like that Paul Maurice guys moved Stastny up to the second line, because you remember it was Stastny, Appleton, and Lowry, and then what you saw was a flip-flop between the second and third lines, and then Perreault came and played down on the third line. Kopp stayed up with Dubois, right? So Dubois, guys, was really the only guy that couldn't get off the schneid here in this game, and that he's eventually going to score. Maybe he's just waiting for the playoffs, because we know he seems to really save his best hockey for the playoffs. So yeah, overall, this game couldn't really have gone any better, Dave, right? Like, you lose the game yesterday, really disappointing, because Vancouver's just a team you should beat, regardless if there's playoff implications or not. It's just a team you should beat. So you like the fact that the first line is really exploding. And what I like maybe most about this game, in addition to how dominant, Wheeler was, was that Kyle Connor was really hunting the puck and he was aggressive, right? Like, obviously he gets the, you know, early first period goal, but I really liked how determined he was in his play. So overall, there wasn't really much to not like about this game.
No, exactly right. This was a Jets effort that, you know, they started right, getting the early goal, the 1-0 goal from Kyle Connor on the breakaway there, you know, and he's now looking like a guy, you know, it's amazing, you know, what getting some goals does for a player like Kyle Connor. You know, 2 games ago, he had absolutely nothing. It looked like a guy who was completely snake bit, no confidence. All of a sudden, he gets that goal. I guess that was last night. My days are blending together. He gets the goal last night, and then tonight, he looks like the Kyle Connor that we're used to. Around the net, dangerous every time, hunting pucks. You know, in the offensive zone, which is, I believe, was what you just said there, Ezzy. So, you know, Kyle Connor looks like he almost he's got hooked up to the rejuvenation machine, and that's what the Jets want. That's what the Jets need. You know, it's been such a bad stretch for much of the last 10 games or so. It is probably does a world of difference for the dressing room. I'm not going to say that it's the solution and all of a sudden they're going to, you know, dominate the Edmonton Oilers come the first round of the playoffs or anything, but just to be able to go into the playoffs having the good vibes of tonight's game, regardless of what happens on Friday. Because now that there's nothing to play for either side on Friday, it really is going to be the Moose and the Marlies on Friday, the last game of the regular season against the Leafs. But now, at least the Jets can point to this game and say, hey, we took care of business. We beat a weaker opponent. We didn't squeak by. We didn't, you know, have to rely strictly on our goaltending. They got the shutout. They got 5 goals. They're feeling good about themselves. The top line looked like a dominant top line. A much-needed, excellent night for the hometown team, Dave.
Yeah, and I think it started really from the pregame ceremony for Paul Stastny, honoring him for his 1,000th game. You know, they had the silver stick they represented. His family was able to be there after having gone through COVID protocols.
And his kids got the mini silver sticks, Dave.
Yeah, his wife got flowers. Nice. His kids got mini silver sticks. You know, and they were really nice. And I know they didn't show them. I don't think they showed them for the folks at home. But during the intermission or during the commercial breaks, they had messages from like his parents and from his brothers and from his family. So I think it was one of those things that, you know, and Paul Maurice was asked about this. Will that kind of be a rallying cry? Can that be something that gets players, you know, wanting to have success? And, you know, look, they obviously want to have success regardless of the reason, but maybe that incentivized them a little bit because they seemed to have a little bit of jump. Everyone seemed to really enjoy the pregame ceremony. So I, you know, you kind of thought that maybe there was a little element of that they wanted to, you know, have a good showing given that there was a, you know, that's the implication of what 1,000 games in the NHL means and what Paul Stastny means to so many on this team. I mean, I don't know that you'll ever hear anybody say anything bad about Paul Stastny. I mean, his media availability today was as, you know, as honest and like, you can just see he's just such a guy. He's one of those people who just doesn't want to talk about himself. He really didn't want
pro. He's, I mean, that's really what he, you know, he doesn't necessarily like the spotlight on him. And, you know, the between periods interview with Sarah Orleski of TSN.
Yeah. By the way, that might have been the longest one ever. I looked over at Carter Brooks from Game On Magazine at one point, and I said, because I looked down and I, like, it was during the admission, I was watching the Moose game as well, but like, I looked and I was like, why is that interview still going on? So, I mean, obviously, it must have been a longer interview than normal because, and what you guys couldn't see at home was that the usually the Zambonis and the ice crew would be out. They're all stuck back there. So like, I would say that probably ran at least, well, I mean, it seems TV time seems like a long time, but it felt like it was at least 2 to 4 minutes longer than a normal intermission interview. Am I wrong in that? Or is that accurate?
It went long. It seemed longer. There was probably more follow-up questions. Usually it's 2 questions and they're out. And then this one might have had 3 or 4 questions. I mean, it wasn't, you know, hours long or anything like that. But what I was going to say, though, is that, you know, Stastny in the interview talks about how he doesn't like having the camera on himself so that when he went out for the skate, you know, got the solo lap for the 1,000th game, he was thinking to himself the whole time, all he wanted to do was not fall. He didn't like that the camera was on him, didn't like that the spotlight was on him. Yeah. And it just goes back to being, you know, a real pros pro, a kind of guy who is, you know, the conscience of the dressing room. You know how certain players, when they speak, be it in the room or be it with the media, you know, their words almost have more weight than a typical player.
Yeah.
No, Stastny's one of those guys whose words mean more. So when Stastny came out however many games ago that is now, and said that there was a lot of cheat in the Jets game, people stood up and took notice, because, you know, when Paul Stastny says something, especially at this stage of his career where he's on the verge of 1,000 games, which he reached tonight, that it's like, okay, well, Paul Stastny saying this isn't just lip service. This isn't just a cliche answer. This is a guy who's nothing but honest and has been through all the battles and all the wars in the hockey world. And that's why, I mean, I think for so many and for the team, they seem to feed off the energy that, albeit in an empty arena, they fed off the energy that the 1,000th game ceremony sort of provided for them to start tonight.
Yeah, and we've talked about it a lot, Dave. I was going to say, you know, we've talked about it quite a bit this year, you know, how nice it would be for certain games there to be fans, right? And this is one of those games, right? And he deserves all of these accolades, right, guys? Like, he's had an unbelievable career. Like, first off, just getting to 1,000 games, like, very few, you think there's, like, you know, thousands of these players that get to 1,000 games, but it's an exclusive club. It really
365,
is.
365,
like, I think, or 360. Yeah, and that's the history of the NHL, right, Dave? Like, we're going, this is decades here, and Blake Wheeler's obviously close, right? Like, he's going to hit it next year. He's at, I think, 980, Dave, or close to that, 980, 979, something like that. So Wheeler's going to hit that soon as well. But it's not just the games played. Like, this guy has been a big part of all of the teams that he's played on, right? Like, on Vegas,
a 979 now.
Yeah, there you go. So he's going to hit it next year, right?
Yeah.
And we obviously know Wheeler and Stastny are great friends, but, you know, we always, you know, seem to go back to 2018 because that was obviously the Jets' best run. Like, Stastny was, maybe with the exception of Mark Scheifele, Stastny was the most valuable player on that team, right? Like, you think about what he did, especially, you know, through those first two rounds against Minnesota and Nashville. Like, he, without him, I don't know if the Jets get to the West Final versus Vegas. So, you know, good for him. Hits 1,000 games. He had a really good game. You know, didn't get a goal, but, you know, he was around the net and he could have easily got a goal. We talked about that beautiful pass he fed Mason Appleton in the first period. And I like that Paul Maurice was moving him around, you know, between the second and third line, because, you know, we haven't really gotten into this, but, you know, a lot of these lines are going to look similar. Obviously, you know, Nikolaj Ehlers isn't in the lineup right now, but look at the way Derek Forbert played with Neil Pionk. And that was something we've been talking about for a few weeks now, right? Like, Forbert was one of those guys, you know, that, you know, we thought might be a healthy scratch, you know, a rest in favor of, you know, maybe Ville Heinola, right? And, you know, I really like Logan Stanley and Jordy Benn on the third pair. I would expect Logan Stanley's going to play that last game against Toronto. Maybe Heinola comes in for Forbert, Dave. But, you know, Forbert, Pionk, that's been a pair that Paul Maurice has relied on all year long. Obviously, Morrissey and DeMello, just a very solid game, not a flashy game.
Yeah.
But, you know, those are the D pairs that you could easily see in game one. Like, the only question mark might be, you know, Jordy Benn, maybe Tucker Pullman goes in for Ben. But I think there's a good chance that, you know, why not have Logan Stanley and Jordy Benn together? I think that pair looked really good tonight.
Look, the Jets, you know, basically everybody on the Jets looked good tonight. And that's a combination of,
fair enough,
you know, a 5-0 victory, a combination of playing the Vancouver Canucks, who certainly, you know, don't have anything to play for. And it's a completely different set of circumstances when you're going to be playing against the Edmonton Oilers come, you know, next Tuesday, next Wednesday, whenever the series actually begins. And we'll find that out in the coming days now that we know that the North Division matchups are all officially set now. So that, you know, NHL can get on with the scheduling of the playoffs. You know, it's, look, you can't read too much into this one game. You can't say this one game means that the Jets have no more problems and that everything's going to be hunky-dory from here on out, and they're going to be back to the team that, you know, gave Toronto fits so many times earlier in the year, and that they were, you know, knocking on the door of first place in the North Division. But for one game at, you know, the second last regular season game, they had a dominant effort and they needed it. And that's what was as important as anything else, is that they can just get those good vibes, that when they're meeting with the media, like they're doing right now, they're doing so sort of with that weight off their shoulders. And they didn't do it by, you know, it's not a 2-1 win that Connor Hellebuyck, you know, saved their backsides the entire time. It was a complete team victory, top to bottom. Blake Wheeler, Great night for Blake Wheeler. 4 points, if I'm not mistaken, for Blake Wheeler. 2 goals, 2 assists. Interesting to note that the broadcast, I don't know if you guys, Dave, I don't know if you heard it, but Ezzy, I'm sure you did, that the broadcast basically came out and said that Blake Wheeler, his struggles earlier in the year was because he was playing with cracked ribs. And I'm watching the post-game availabilities on my second screen here, and Wheeler doesn't deny that. He basically, so it's now out in the open that the reason why he was struggling so much earlier in the season is he was playing through broken ribs or cracked ribs.
And you're right, Drew, we didn't know that. I mean, there was a bunch of speculation what it was, but yeah, that was Kevin Sawyer that mentioned that on the broadcast. And then, as you mentioned, Blake Wheeler's talking about it now. So, I mean, that's significant, right? Like, we know hockey players are tough, and, you know, maybe that's one of the reasons why he was struggling a little bit. You know, I wanted to mention one thing, Drew. I know I kind of, you know, going a little bit off topic here because you were talking about Wheeler, but, you know, I just went and checked the box score. Logan Stanley had 5 shots tonight, Dave. And, you know, I knew that he had at least 3. I was kind of keeping track while I was watching, but, you know, several of those shots were him stepping into shots, and they were heavy shots. Speaking of heavy, Drew, and I think that's something we'll probably be talking about, you know, on Friday's post game show, and definitely on Saturday when we preview the first round matchup between the Jets and the Oilers. Like, I think Logan Stanley has absolutely put himself in the conversation to be in that starting lineup, right? And, you know, obviously you don't want to be too hard on Ville Heinola, right? Because, as I mentioned, I wasn't on the post game show, but, you know, there was the obvious giveaway.
Bad giveaway. Yeah.
It was a bad giveaway, but you're not going to judge Heinola on that one giveaway, but just based on games played and what Logan Stanley has done this year for the Jets, I think, you know, he's earned himself a spot. And whether that's Stanley and Poolman, Dave, on the third pair, or whether that's, you know, Stanley and Ben, because we know Jordy Ben is better on the right side, even though he's a left shot. Just wanted to throw that in there. I really like Stanley's game.
Well, and it's funny, as I thought the same thing. I actually thought he was noticeable. He was blocking shots inadvertently and intentionally, because one time there was what it would have been in the first period, it probably right at the Canucks power play ended. I don't know if he did it intentionally, because it was hard to see, obviously, in the arena, and that was on the far side from where I'm sitting in the press box. But it was a play that he got his body in the way. So whether he intentionally put his foot down to block it, but it would have been an easy tap in. And there were a couple of big blocks he made on the penalty kill. He's a guy who's just more comfortable, and there's no question about it. And again, in the third pairing role, you know, with an experienced player like Jordy Benn, who's playing, who again, it's funny that we knew this. We were talking about this. He was better on that right side than he was on the left. And I know Paul Maurice wanted to see him, but you knew that the metrics would suggest that he should have been on the right side, not the left. And now they're seeing that he's better on the right than he's looked better on the right. Picked up his first point as a member of the Winnipeg Jets today, picking up a secondary assist. But yeah, there's no question about it. It would be hard to see Logan Stanley not in this Jets lineup. Now, again, it's going to be tough, because remember, I mean, he's going to have to defend against speed. Connor McDavid, if he gets up against him, and we know Dave Tippett is a hell of a good coach in terms of matchups. So that's something you're going to have to be aware of. But same time, like, you know what, it's going to be an opportunity for him to continue to grow. And he's a player who's handled challenges, right? He's a player who, from when we last saw him in the AHL last March to his training camp to the summer, whatever it was called, the bubble, preparing and all that stuff, and then getting ready for the training camp and then getting ready for this season. He's a player who's just, you know, exponentially grown in his development. And so, again, you know, will he continue to level up and impress? It's hard to see that he wouldn't, because he keeps showing that he deserves to be in the NHL.
I think he just brings a physical factor and a size factor. And look, he's got his drawbacks, and we all know what they are. But he brings a physicality that the Jets don't really have anywhere else. They just the presence of being, you know, 6'7" or however tall he is, right around there, and just, you know, being that wide-bodied man out on the ice. When you look at the rest of the Jets' defense, that's just not what they have, you know, in spades. You know, the ability to, you know, if there's a scrum, and you know that come playoff time, there's always scrums, the ability for him just to grab a guy and tower over them, and just that little bit of a factor, I think, is worth having him in the lineup, certainly over Jordy Benn playing on his left side. Now, if Jordy Benn wants to play with Logan Stanley, or not wants, but if Jordy Benn and Logan Stanley are going to play Benn on the right side and Stanley on the left, whatever, that's fine. It doesn't bother me. Poolman, you know, Poolman and Ben, you know, whichever one of those guys is going to be the right side defenseman, mm-hmm. I can live with that. But your left side has to be either Stanley or Heinola. Ben can't be your third pairing left side defenseman because he's better on the right side. It's been proven time and time again, throughout his career that Ben is a better performer when he plays his offside. So the numbers bear that out. The Jets clearly have, the Jets have more depth on the left side already with Stanley and Heinola and Pionk and Morrissey than they do on the right side. Really, there is nobody behind Poolman on the right side. I mean, Sammy Niku at this point in time is clearly not a legitimate option for the Winnipeg Jets. He might play Friday, but that's just because it's the Moose against the Marlies on Friday and Sammy Niku can get a game. But if your right side depth is DeMello and is Pionk. Who am I missing on the right? Pionk, sorry, DeMello and Pionk and Poolman and Ben, and then your left side depth is Morrissey and Forbort and Stanley and Heinola. Well, then you have at least eight defensemen, four left, four right. It makes more sense at that point in time for the Winnipeg Jets perspective. Want to say good evening to everybody. Sorry, Ezzy. Good evening to everybody that's just joining us. Welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show, talking about the Jets and the Vancouver Canucks. The Jets 5-0 victors tonight over the Canucks. 4 points from the captain of the Winnipeg Jets, Blake Wheeler. Kyle Connor also gets on the score sheet. Mark Scheifele gets on the score sheet as well. Mason Appleton, the fifth goal scorer for the Jets. So 4 goals from the Jets' top line. Very important for a team trying to get the offense going after they had been struggling for so long in the course of this losing streak. For all those who are new and haven't yet done so, please smash the like button, give us a thumbs up, subscribe if you haven't already done so. Do that and you get alerted each and every time we go live here on the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, be it with the Illegal Curve post-game show or the Illegal Curve hockey show, which will come up, of course, on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Alongside Dave Manouk, alongside Ezra Ginsberg, I am Drew Mandel, the host of this fine program. Mr. Ginsberg, I interrupted you. My apologies. What were you going to say?
No, it's all good. I was just going to, throw in there the other, I think, reason or the other thing that Stanley has going for him, or at least the way I view it, you guys might agree, you might disagree, but I think Stanley offers you more of an offensive element. Like, we know Jordy Ben's not going to, he obviously gets his first assist, but we're talking more of a scoring threat, right? And I mean, Dave could tell you this better than I could. Stanley's obviously not a guy that, you're expecting to be a 50-point defenseman at the NHL level, but like, you watch that game and I realize, some people in the chat are saying that, he's got to hit the net more. He had 5 shots on net, right? And like, we know that he can score. So that's the other thing that I would say about what Stanley has going for him, on the left side there, right? Like, Jordy Ben's a stay-at-home defenseman, right? Like, he's a prototypical stay-at-home defenseman. Doesn't mean he's never going to get any points. It's just, you don't expect that out of him. Whereas Stanley, he can jump up into the play and be an offensive threat. But certainly it's kind of in between Poolman and Ben for that third pair right-hand side. And, Ville Heinola might be a bit of an outsider at this point. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, Stanley is better than Heinola or anything like that. These guys are both first-round picks. Everybody would agree Heinola's offensive upside is much higher. But just based on the way these guys have played, this year, and Heinola hasn't played a lot for the Jets this year, right? He's played the majority of the season, in with the Moose and over in Finland in the World Juniors. So I wanted to throw that in there as well. And, you look at the minutes, guys, like Paul Maurice talked about this before the game, right, Dave? Like, he wanted to make sure that the minutes were evenly distributed, more so among defensemen, right? Because we know the fourth line is always going to be significantly behind the top three lines, but 17 minutes to 22 minutes. And obviously there were only a couple of power plays on each side, right? So if you're have 4 or 5 power plays, obviously the minutes are going to go up for Morrissey and Pionk, but I think that's significant here. And yes, Vancouver is a bad team and the Jets were dominating. And obviously, you're going to get your third pair out more when the score is 3-0 or 4-0. But I think that was significant in you got to see Stanley for 17 minutes, right? As opposed to maybe 13 minutes or 14 minutes. And I imagine Paul Maurice is going to try to do the same. Maybe Heinola comes in for Forbort. Forbort took a pretty good hit there. Forget if that was from Grayovac or whatever. Yeah. So, I mean,
former Manitoba Moose,
Tyler Grayovac. Yes, former Moose. So, and he had a good game. Grayovac's been putting the puck in the net lately for the Canucks, right? Trying to earn himself a nice job for next year. So, you know, I absolutely think, you know, that you're going to continue to see that. And against Toronto, you're obviously going to see players that are more so American Hockey League guys in the lineup for them as well. Maybe Toninato gets another game, but the point is, yeah, I think you're going to start to see, not start to see, you're going to continue to see, because you saw that tonight. You're going to see, you know, Stanley get maybe a few more minutes than he'll get in the playoffs.
Yeah, and yeah. Stanley, you know, I think the big thing was, as to your point, was that he was hitting the net. And I think that's kind of the big thing with Logan Stanley, is a lot of times he's been firing that puck at the net, but he hasn't really been making, you know, connecting with the goaltender, and you know, he's got such a heavy shot, and you're right, he was really leaning into it today. So, you know, that if that's an element of his game, you know, in addition to the physicality, that will go a long way to cementing his role with this Jets team. Now, moving away from Logan Stanley, you know, interesting comments made from some of the players in the post game media availability. Blake Wheeler giving Paul Maurice credit, saying that his pregame speech was Winston Churchill-esque. We know that Paul Maurice likes history, so evidently that connects that with that, because he, you know, obviously, and it clearly was in connection to Paul Stastny's 1,000th game. But still, you know, Blake Wheeler is the guy who said I'd run through a wall for Paul Maurice. You can see that connectivity with those guys. There's no question about it. There's a lot of, you know, mutual respect between Blake Wheeler, the Jets captain, and Paul Maurice. And the other thing I thought that was interesting was that, you know, Connor Hellebuck originally said he had a sprain and then called it a mild jam. And then
after
the slash in the game yesterday. And then, against the Senators on Saturday. But it was funny because he said, and then Scott Billick from the Winnipeg Sen said, what was it? Was it strawberry jam? Was it an apricot jam? What kind of jam exactly was it, Connor Hellebuck? But anyways, I mean, regardless, he looked good tonight. And that's what you need. You needed Connor Hellebuck. I think that was probably the most important thing. And again, the Vancouver Canucks are not the Edmonton Oilers, and the Vancouver Canucks don't have Connor McDavid. So yes, that is understood. But the reality is, you needed Connor Hellebuck to look like Connor Hellebuck, to be comfortable in the net, picks up the shutout, look clean, played another clean game. And again, like I said, whether he even dresses on Friday, I think I saw Mark Spector was saying that the Oilers and Jets, well, it wasn't the Jets, but the Oilers and whomever they were playing would likely
be. Oilers have one game left against the Canucks on Saturday night.
No. I know. I'm talking about when they're going to play.
Oh, like, sorry. When they're going to play.
Yeah. So it sounds like Spector was thinking that that'll be next Thursday when they start. So again, right. Maybe what you do is you let Hellebuck play half the game, you let Brassois play half the game, and you treat it like it's a exhibition game. And to your point, you get guys in there off the taxi squad. I thought Dominic Toninato had a good game. I thought he looked energized. But he did what he needed to do, right?
Absolutely.
He didn't make any mistakes. He brought some energy. Again, I saw some comments like people don't like that Jansen Harkins came out. I agree with you. I thought Jansen Harkins didn't deserve to come out. Trevor Lewis got that shot to the hand, so we don't know. Maybe he takes a night off on Friday to give him some chance, him an opportunity to heal up, and then maybe Harkins or Vesalainen gets in the lineup. But, you know, I think it was a function of just you needed something. You know, you needed the pressure valve to be released. And I think that's kind of what's happened with this win. I mean, again, it's not a win against a team that is a dominant team in the North, although you could argue no team in the North is truly dominant. But you needed to do this just to kind of get that good feeling. And again, to get that top line scoring and feeling good about themselves. I mean, Blake Absolutely. Wheeler, 4 points, Mark Scheifele, Kyle Connor. It's funny how, you know, a guy has a drought, and we're talking about it. Scores last night, scores tonight. Suddenly now he's gone from a drought to a goal streak. So that's going to go a long way to guys who are goal scorers, to get that good feeling, to not be grasping their stick so tight. And I think that'll, even Mason Appleton feeling good again, contributing. I think it's going to go a long way to getting this team fired up. And again, maybe you have some of these guys in the lineup on Friday to keep that feeling rolling, and, you know, play your bottom six a little more than you have previously. But then it gives your team an opportunity to kind of go into the playoffs. You're going to have a rest anyways, right? You know, the minimum you're going to have, you know, they'll probably take Saturday off, but they'll probably have at least 4 or 5 days obviously was practice, but before they play a game again. So you're going to have a chance to heal up anything that happens and any bumps and bruises. So I think that, again, I think there's a real good opportunity for this Jets team because of what they've created tonight to roll that into Friday and then roll into the playoffs.
There's lots of good, lots of Drew's beard comments happening. Sorry, Dave.
People are loving the beard. Oh yeah, people are loving this beard. Drew, walking again.
Lack of beard, you mean?
Well, I was going to say, I'm concerned that I might have been ugly before, you know, based on all these comments. But
Drew, you've always been handsome.
When I popped into this chat, as before you were there, I popped in and I kind of looked at Drew and I was like, am I in the right stream right now? Like,
I see the IC logo.
And then, speaking of IC logos, actually, we should point out that Ezzy, although he's not displaying it very well.
I don't know if you can see it right now.
Because you're blocking it. It should be to your over your right shoulder, Ez. Like, move it over to the right.
Yeah, I'll move the computer or something.
We'll deal with that later.
We'll do it during the commercial break. But the point is, Ezzy is rocking our original illegal curve sign that we used to take to some of our when we'd have a
that's back from 2011. The first year we used to do the games at the Cheer Bar and Grill.
That's
which
right.
Is, and it, which does not exist anymore.
Which is also a place that Ezzy hosted the Ezzies. If you second year of the Ezzies.
No. That was the Chill.
Yeah, you just said the Chill.
No, I said the cheer.
I don't know. He's done it so many different places. But anyways,
that Ezzy became Jekyll and Hyde's as well.
Now they've chopped it up.
I think it's a cannabis shop now. Yeah, exactly.
Well, anyways,
so I go there for different reasons.
Now. Yeah. But the point is that Ezzy, in fact, did the Ezzies in a tuxedo t-shirt that he bought at the Grand Park Mall. I was with him. And it was very classy.
Yeah.
It was trendy.
There was also dollars. Chill bucks with Ezzy's face on it.
Yes. Like, shout out to John Angst, who now lives in Montana or Wyoming.
Montana.
He had to move far away from us.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. All righty. Let's take a break. When we come back, more on tonight's game. I also want to
smash the like button. Then smash the like button.
What's going on here? I want 500 likes tonight.
I want to come back. I wanted to hear your guys' comments about what Nick Kiprio said earlier today on the Rod Peterson show about Nikolaj Ehlers. Probably if Jets fans haven't heard the comments, you'll want to stay tuned to hear what Nick Kiprios had to say about Nikolaj
Ehlers. Teaser there, Drew. Teasing the audience.
That's what I'm doing. Teasing the audience. That's what I'm good at. We'll be right back. Dave Manuk, Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg. This is the Illegal Curve post-game show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest running comedy club, bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile.
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whiten my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go,
we have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard.
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see lindenmarketdental.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
While you can't always count on your team winning, nor your favorite player scoring, one thing you can always count on is Bernstein's Deli. They've expanded their services because the team at Bernstein's Deli wants to accommodate your needs and keep you safe. Open Tuesday to Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to serve you. Head to your phone, in-store or online to shop for groceries or order meals from the restaurant, like the legendary Illegal Curve Sandwich. Just go to bernsteinsdeli.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal. starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
We're back with the Illegal Curve post-game show Tuesday evening. Oh, good, Ezzy. You managed to move the computer or the sign or yourself or all three of them. I'm not 100% sure, but that looks much better now. During that commercial
break, I was moving my computer probably left to right about 100 times.
You were buzzing.
I realized that I'm just fat, and that's why I blocked the sign. I just need to lose weight, guys. That's pretty much what it boils down to.
Well, think about if you still had the beard. You might as well not have the sign if you still had the beard. No one would be able to see it at all through that mane of hair of yours, but clearly beard's no longer a big issue for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show right now.
Beards are so 2020, man. It's all about being clean shaven, right, Drew?
Clean shaven's the way to be there, big boy. Anyways, welcome back to the Illegal Curve post game show. Alongside Dave Manuk and Ezra Ginsberg, I am your host, Drew Mindell, talking about the Jets and the Canucks, talking about some off ice matters for the Winnipeg Jets as well. An interesting sort of throwaway comment at the end of Nick Kypreos's appearance earlier today on the Rod Peterson show. They were talking about the Jets and you know, just sort of as they were almost leaving this segment, you hear Nick Kypreos say almost under his breath a little bit when they were talking about Nikolaj Ehlers, Kypreos saying Ehlers is not going to be ready for the start of the playoffs, which certainly would be news to everybody here in Winnipeg, probably be news to the Winnipeg Jets organization as well. But some interesting comments from Nick Kypreos. And now, is it a guy who's stirring up trouble? Maybe. But I also think that there's probably an element of some truth to it if he's going to go out and say it, because he's not normally known as a guy who's just going to spout off without having any sort of evidence to his claims. So I think for Jets fans who are sort of counting or hoping on Nikolaj Ehlers being back in the lineup come game one, whenever that is, next Tuesday, next Wednesday, next Thursday, the thought that they might have to do it without Nikolaj Ehlers is certainly discomforting, Dave Manuk.
I mean, there's no question about it, and there was nobody else who's kind of picked up on that report. So, while Nick Kypreos, we don't question him. I mean, he's an honest guy. I like him. I think he's a good hockey, you know, commentator, former hockey player, and I think he's got good sources. He seems to know usually a lot of things what he's talking about. So maybe he's got some sort of insight. Maybe he knows something. I mean, we'll see what happens with Nikolaj Ehlers and whether he's ready to go. That would obviously be a big loss. We know that Nikolaj Ehlers was lightly shooting at practice or during skate, which is a good sign, obviously, because he wasn't initially. So that's a good sign for the Winnipeg Jets. And again, we're going to have, you know, today's I lose track of days.
But Tuesday. Today's Tuesday.
No, I'm saying so. You've got at least 9 days before you're going to need Nikolaj Ehlers. I mean, obviously, they're going to want him to practice, and they're obviously going to want him to be banging and crashing and getting some physical contact, you know, next week if he's going to be ready to go for next Thursday. But he in theory would have 9 days before, you know, before he would have to be ready to play for the Winnipeg Jets. But again, I mean, I'm not going to minimize it because I've been talking about how important a player Nikolaj Ehlers is for this Jets team. So if you don't have Nikolaj Ehlers, if he's not ready to go for game one, well, you better strap on your big boy pants and you're going to have to play. You're going to have to play like a team because he's such an important element. I don't remember that. I heard someone say the stat today. But what the power play has done when he was injured and when he wasn't. And it was like, I think they were 2 for the last 20-something attempts on the power play before tonight. And then with Nikolaj Ehlers, it was clipping a lot at a lot higher of a pace. So there's an element. And as he said this to start the broadcast, special teams is what gets it done so often in the playoffs. And so if you're going to have a guy like Nikolaj Ehlers, who's going to be so critical to your success, not available – again, is it not available for game one? Is it not available for game two? I really don't want to speculate because, well, again, like I said, I respect Nick Kypreos and what he says. I don't know anything from my own information, so I would rather just go based on what we know as fact. And right now, what we know as fact from what the team has told us, and again, it's not to say that they couldn't say something that was an untruth, but what we know is that they say he's going to be ready for game one. I'm sure Paul Maurice will, because of this report, will be asked, what is Nikolaj Ehlers' progress? And maybe he was asked, I mean, we're going to play his media availability. I think it's still either ongoing or just ended. So I suspect it wasn't asked tonight, but once news of this kind of circulates, it, you know, and their Jets are scheduled to practice today, tomorrow and the next day, you know, I'm sure this question will come up with Paul Maurice. And so we'll have a better answer. And again, he's, like I've said to you guys before, it's not a function of this being a court of law. He doesn't have to be held to, you know, account for his words. But generally, these guys try and thread the needle without having to outwardly lie unless absolutely necessary. So my guess is that we'll have some sort of insight in the next day or two on Nikolaj Ehlers.
Yeah, no, Kipper's a reliable source. I mean, there's no doubt about that. He's not someone that throws out misinformation. Right. But as you mentioned, Dave, there's a lot of time before game one of the Jets-Oilers series, right? So things can change. I'm curious to know, you know, who his source is, right? Because obviously, you know, the Jets.
I thought it was you.
I wish. No, I don't wish, because that would not be good news for the Jets. But, you know, like, honestly, though, guys, like, aside from, you know, the Jets, the team, and the medical staff, right? Like, who else would know, you know, where Ehlers is at in his recovery, right? Like, all we see, Dave, is, you know, he's out there, you know, skating. But aside from that,
they're not going to, these guys,
you don't want to take their hand, right?
Right. But we know that the hockey men, you know, gossip like high school, they're in high school or junior high, you know, all the time. It's an industry that's fueled on rumor and you know, I'll tell you a little secret if you tell me a little secret. So there's no shortage of gossip and opportunity for one person to share news or share information with somebody else. You know, Kiprios, you know, he's got a long history with a lot of people in the Winnipeg Jets organization, namely Paul Maurice. Now, I'm not for the life of me saying that Paul Maurice is his source, because I don't know that to be the case, and I'd be shocked if that was the case. But there's no shortage of connections. You know, one degree of separation between all of these people in the hockey world is what you see, you know, what you see happen each and every time. And so there's no, you know, I don't see why. What he would have to gain by making it up and pulling it completely out of his rear end. And that wouldn't be his style. This is a guy who, for a long time, was a pretty reliable, quote-unquote, insider.
He still is. He's not on Sportsnet anymore, but obviously, you know, he's continuing to do the Real Kipper show, right?
Yeah.
And we hope that, obviously, Ehlers is ready for game one. And it goes back to, you know, what we said a few minutes ago, right? Guys, like, there's still a lot of time. And, you know, 7 days is a lot of time when you're rehabbing an injury. So we'll wait and see what happens. And, you know, that was a good segue, Drew, for our own insider here, our Manitoba Moose insider, Dave Minuk, who broke a little bit of news today that Winnipeg Jets 2020 first rounder Cole Perfetti will be heading to Latvia to play for Team Canada at the 2021 World Hockey Championship. So we've got a little insider of our own here, Drew, don't we?
We do now, but of course his ego is run amok, and it's going to be a problem for you and I, as you know, we have to deal with him. He insists that we call him the insider at all times, but you know,
with three R's.
Yeah. And that notwithstanding, Mr. Minuk, a good scoop from you. Yeah. Earlier today, about an hour and a half or so before the quote unquote real insiders talking about how Cole Perfetti is done for the season with the Manitoba Moose and is heading to Riga, Latvia for the World Hockey Championships as a member of Team Canada.
Yeah, no, that was kind of big news that, you know, like I said, I found out today, and, you know, it kind of opened my eyes, because you really anticipated that Cole Perfetti was going to be finishing off, you know, what he's been doing so well so far this season with the Manitoba Moose. You know, he's got 9 goals, 17 assists, 26 points in 32 games. And he's right now, I think he's six in scoring in the AHL, but he's the youngest player right now in the top 10 of scoring. Him and Quinton Byfield were in the top. But Byfield slipped out now that he was recalled by the Kings. But the reality is, you know, it was one of those stories that you're hearing that and you think to yourself, okay, Dave, sorry, I just saw that one of the things, videos of Reddit, Dave Minuk and Elliot Friedman are now household names. I like that tweet. I like that one. But anyways, the point is, sorry, sometimes you can't keep it straight. You're trying to talk and I'm seeing what everybody's comments are in the chat, and it's great, but it does distract. Anyways, the point is Cole Perfetti has had just a phenomenal, unexpectedly phenomenal season as his first year pro when the OHL was canceled. And yeah, he's going to get a chance. He's now, I mean, whether he plays, we'll see. There's going to be a lot of NHLers, obviously. So, you know, it may just be an opportunity for him to continue his development, obviously, with the Moose being done, you know, in three more games. Now that tonight's game, they lost in a shootout. They were up 3-1 in the third, ended up losing 4-3 in a shootout. but their point streak is at 12 games now, 10-0-0-2. So they've been flying, and they did it without Cole Perfetti, and he's become a big part of that team. And I asked Pascal Vincent, which wasn't easy because I was at the Bell MTS place hoping that the game would go to overtime. The Moose game would go to overtime. And then it went to a shootout, which meant the Jets game had just ended. They all went in. There was nothing playing on the on the Jumbotron. So it was kind of giving me this small window to have an interview with the, you know, I talked to CJ Cease, who's the player they brought out, and then head coach Pascal Vincent. And I had a chance to ask him, you know, what he's seen in terms of the growth of Cole Perfetti from, you know, when he first got him until now. And he just said what a remarkable young man he is, and what an unbelievable development curve that this kid has achieved. And he said this to me throughout the course of you know, being his head coach, that you would tell him something and he'll pick it up. And so you don't have to go and repeat to him three different times about one drill. He would tell him, and Perfetti is such a mature young man. And you hear that when you speak with him, you get that sense of that understanding that he would just adjust on his own, and he wouldn't need to. Hey, Colby, sorry, one of our Legal Curve photographers.
What's up, Colby?
Hello, Colby. So
Colby's here because he wants to take some pictures of Drew with that new shaven look here.
Colby was not shooting tonight's game. He was at home. He shot last night's game. Pretty low event. I feel bad for Colby. Alexander James, our other photographer, was shooting tonight's game.
Are you talking about Alex Neff?
Let me just interrupt and explain to people that if you head over to our Instagram page,
yes,
at Illegal Curve on Instagram, all those photos that you see on illegalcurve.com, there's a ton more posted on our Instagram page at Illegal Curve. Our photographers right there, you know, at every Winnipeg Jets game, you know, snapping great photos, live in action photos, kind of which you just really can't see without the, you know, the professionalism that Colby and Alexander bring to the table night in and night out. So it's great to see Colby in the chat with us here in the post game show. But if you're not already following us on Instagram, go check out our Instagram feed for some just fantastic photography from inside Bell MTS Place.
And sorry, follow Dave. Colby on Instagram as well, because I follow him. I think we all do on Instagram. And you know, he is unbelievable. Yeah. I don't know what other words I can describe. He takes absolutely beautiful pictures. He takes nature pictures as well on his Instagram. I always get a kick out of it, you know, different birds and stuff like that. Drew, you know, I'm the bird man. So even though Mikael Burden is the real bird man.
He's been taking pictures of you as, you know, as an animal live in society.
You should see my backyard. We've got lots of bird feeders. We're, you know, welcoming lots of chickadees, blue jays, you know.
So do you each have a feeding time?
Different or wazo.
Do you have to fight the blue jays and the chickadees for the bird seed? Or, you know, do you have your own feeder and they have their own feeder? How does that
exactly
work?
Yeah, no, we have to, they get theirs, I have mine.
Fair enough. Anyways, go on with what you were saying about Perfetti.
No, I mean, again, like I said,
please get us out of this.
Yeah, let me just quickly walk everyone away from what the hell these two were just talking about. No, I mean, look, it comes down to this. He's got a bright future, and he's hit a level, an unexpected level, because let's be realistic, guys. If this was a normal year, which we all wish it was, he would have been in the OHL and he wouldn't have played a first year pro. He may have played a game or two with the Jets, but he wouldn't have been playing his whole season in the pros. And, you know, next year it's interesting because he doesn't have we're hoping everything's back to normal. And if things are back to normal, well, Cole Perfetti wouldn't be eligible to play in the AHL. He'd have to play either in the NHL or back in the OHL. And that's a tough situation for him because he's been, you know, so good and he's learned so much. And his development, like I said, his development curve is accelerated. Now, again, accelerated, but he still has a long way to go. He still has to learn how to play against men. I thought that element of his game was growing. I thought there was a more physical element to his game that from the last few home games I saw at the Iceplex. And, you know, that was kind of the benefit of being up and close to the glass, was you could actually watch those small things that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily see when we're way up in the press box. And he was more engaged and he was more kind of like Heinola, you know, with smaller guys, they have to be smart when they're engaging these big guys. And Perfetti has such a high level of intelligence that he's learning how to use that physicality without having to go and like there's a guy like Skylar McKenzie, who's a 2017 seventh rounder of the Jets. He is a smaller player, but he's physical. Like he launches his body. Problem is he gets hurt a lot. So you got to be careful. And Perfetti, though, will use his intelligence to separate the man from the puck without overly engaging himself. So again, he's going to have to develop strength. He's going to have to develop. I wouldn't be rushing him into the NHL by any stretch of the imagination, but I got to tell you, I think this has accelerated his development curve by significant amount. So I'm not saying that I'm not willing to bet against Cole Perfetti. I think Cole Perfetti could, again, he's had an amazing season in the AHL. We don't know what's going to happen in the World Championships in Latvia. Maybe he gets into some games, maybe he does some things, but regardless, he's going to be developing with NHLers.
And it's a great learning experience, right?
That's like what I mean. He'll have that learning experience.
It's a unique year for him. You're right, Dave. Like if this was it's a non-COVID year. Yeah, I mean, he would be playing in the Ontario Hockey League. And I think, you know, the way he's played for the Moose this year, Dave, I think it's going to be hard to send him back to the Ontario Hockey League.
I agree with you, Ezzy. So, I mean, the issue is, yeah. I mean, can you get an exemption? Can you, like, we'll see. I don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what the world's going to look like next year. We hope
exactly.
We hope things are back to normal. But anyways, all I'm saying is, again, I tend to default to risk aversion and not rushing prospects. And I think that, you know, giving them time to develop is a good thing. That's why I like Dylan Sandberg in the AHL. Dylan Sandberg's on a bit of a point streak. He's got points in his last four, a goal, three assists in his last four games. But to me, he's one of those players, especially with Johnny Kovacevic injured. Little update there. Pascal Vincent asked him about him after the game, and he said that he's going to skate. I think he said Thursday because their next game is on Friday. So he thinks that Johnny Kovacevic, the Jets 2017 third rounder, right shot defenseman, is going to be ready to skate again. Had kind of a bad mishap against the Marlies where someone slammed into his leg and knocked him out of the game with about 3.5 minutes to go. So he's an important player. He and Dylan Sandberg formed a nice tandem. Lots to like with the Moose. Lots of good things. But yeah, like I said, Cole Perfetti, that news was pretty big today. We've got the whole report on illegalcurve.com. And if you want, you can see I linked to a lot of his goals, a lot of his assists, a lot of the stuff that I've documented throughout the course of his first year as a pro.
Well, you know, when I think about Perfetti at the World Championships this year, I think this is a World Championships that's different than most years, because a lot of the guys who, you know, miss the playoffs and would typically go play for Team Canada or Team USA in that instance, aren't going to go overseas this year just because of COVID and how, you know, screwed up everything has been and how isolated everyone has been. So I think you're going to see a much younger Team Canada, certainly, than you would see in a typical season at the World Hockey Championships. And so that's why I think Perfetti will actually have an opportunity not to just be, you know, a bench player, not to just be sort of a practice squad player for the World Hockey Championships. I think he'll get an opportunity to contribute for Canada, you know, more games than not. And remember, the World Hockey Championships, the way it works with all the preliminary round games where Canada plays against these, you know, my words, and just for lack of better words, lesser hockey countries, will allow him an opportunity to really, I think, show off some of his talents on a world stage. Very similar to what he did, of course, in the World Junior Hockey Championships. But there's even more games in the World Hockey Championships. Remember, I think it's what, two pools of eight teams or something like that. I mean, I have to look back. And so that means there's seven round robin games or seven preliminary round games just to get the seedings in order to then get into the quarterfinals and everything else. So there's going to be a lot of opportunity for Cole Perfetti to continue to play some meaningful hockey and on a stage against, you know, men, against NHL caliber competition, where he normally wouldn't get that opportunity, because I can't really remember. Canada doesn't usually take junior aged players to the World Hockey Championships. That happens very rarely. Usually the US takes a lot of a younger squad than Canada does. So this year with Perfetti, of course, and there was another player,
Owen Power.
Oh, there you go. Thank you. Yeah. That Darren Dreger reported was also going to go, who's a junior age player, typically.
Yeah, he's playing for University of Michigan. Some people think he's American. He's projected to go first overall. And I think, Drew, you just nailed it right there. You said continue to play. And Dave mentioned this, you know, earlier in the postgame show. You know, the Moose have three games left, right, Dave? So his season would have been over, right? Because this, obviously there's no playoffs. So if there were playoffs in the American Hockey League, Perfetti would obviously, you know, stay with the Moose. But now he's going to get to play later in the season, right? And a guy, I mean, he's really lucky, right? And you know, I'm not sure if Perfetti said this today, Dave, if he had media availability.
No,
or
he
not,
didn't speak. But, he didn't speak today.
But I'm sure he would tell you, like, think about all of his teammates, right? And everyone in the Ontario Hockey League that didn't get to play at all. And so he's been, and he's obviously an exceptional player, right? Like, he was a top three player in the OHL last year. So just a great opportunity. And Drew's right. I mean, sometimes you would have, you know, 19 or 20 year old players that were in the NHL, Drew, but yeah, you wouldn't have many players that haven't played at least a few games in the NHL play in the World Hockey Championships. And that shows you how special of a player Perfetti is, right? Like, the Jets grabbed him at 10th overall, but when we were having some scouts on, Craig Button included, you know, some people thought he might go number four to Detroit, right? So this guy is one of the top prospects in the world, not just, you know, top prospects in the 2020 draft class. Like, Perfetti has a very high ceiling, right? Like, he's going to do a really good things at the NHL. He's going to be an NHLer for a long time. So just a great story. Has a great season with the Moose, and, you know, hopefully he's going to get into a lot of games with Canada.
Yeah, and yes, that's exactly right. And it's certainly, there's no downside to the opportunity. It's not like he's played, you know, a full 82 game season, and then you know, he's going to go over and they're just going to be absolutely exhausted or anything like that. You remember, I mean, everybody's season started late. He played at the World Juniors, then he had that break before. Then there was the Moose, and the Moose obviously have played a shortened schedule compared to typical. So this is just another opportunity to get some more games under his belt. And then, you know, obviously he'll get, you know, shift into his off-season mode. But you guys both make a very good point that next year, you know, let's assume, you know, and it does seem like, you know, the world might be a little bit more back to normal come September, October, that, you know, this is a guy who will probably look out of place playing in the OHL again, just because, you know, oftentimes those guys who are, you know, top 10 picks, super talented, you know, picks, if they have to go back to play in the OHL again, then, you know, they just look like they're almost disinterested. And that's not necessarily a knock on them. It's just that they're, you know, they're too good for the OHL. They're not quite at the NHL level. And the rules being what they are, they can't play yet in the AHL. And you wonder, of course, if that rule was ever going to change. And, you know, if this maybe will be a catalyst to get it to change sometime soon and allow those sort of top picks an opportunity to play at the AHL level.
Yeah, and you know, one more thing too, right? Like, I you know, you mentioned he's too good for the OHL. I think, you know, nobody's going to disagree with you. I think he's just too good to not be in the NHL, right? And we're getting ahead of ourselves here, right, guys? Like, we're talking about
September. Training camp already.
Yeah, but I mean, I think there's a really good chance that he's going to play in the NHL and, you know, next year. And I think Dave would agree. It doesn't mean he's going to play the whole season. But I wouldn't be surprised. Like, again, you know, Dave knows this, and I, you know, I guess to a certain degree, I know this as well, just covering the drafts and everything like that. Like, it's very uncommon for 19-year-olds or 20-year-olds to step right into the NHL, right? Like, you're talking about the Patrick Laines, and you're talking about the Jacob Trubas, right? And Cole Perfetti is right up there with those type of high-end prospects. So yeah, it's just, you know, great for him to play at a tournament like the World Hockey Championship, which isn't as big of a tournament in North America as it is in Europe. It's huge in Europe. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, Latvia, I believe this is the first time that they've ever hosted it. But, you know, it's just a best on best tournament where, you know, he's going to be able to continue to play hockey where otherwise, you know, he wouldn't be playing at this time.
Yeah, and I think I'd probably just finish off the Perfetti talk. And one thing that is worth mentioning is that the AHL was a different league this year. So the reality is that a lot of guys who would have been in the AHL were on taxi squads in the NHL. So it was not the normal AHL we're used to seeing. And again, you only played the other Canadian teams from the Moose perspective. So there was a lot of similarity, you know, your four game series, five game series. Again, I'm not maligning what Cole Perfetti has done, because it's not as if he was playing with the best players on the team and had all the opportunity. I mean, he had to earn what he got, but he looked good. I mean, again, like I said, the power play, you know, special player. And, you know, the one thing that he really started to do well, especially later on in the season, I think is worth mentioning, a lot of his points early were special teams, were power play points, whether they were goals or assists. But he started to get a lot of 5-on-5 goals and points, I should say. And I think that's a big element, a big change in his game. And we saw, again, like I said, his skating improved. he scored one goal. Again, like I said, go to illegalcurve.com and see the post I wrote about Cole Perfetti because click on some of those links. Some of the goals he scored were goal scorers goals. And I saw some people comparing him to Nick Petan in the chat. I don't know why people would be doing that, because I'm not trying to malign Nick Petan. Nick Petan was a very talented junior player, but Cole Perfetti is definitely better than Nick Petan. So I don't think
Cole Perfetti was a top 10 pick. Nick Petan was a second round selection.
No, I mean, again, like I said,
obviously didn't pan out.
Look, Nick Petan had a hell of a junior career, but I would just suggest that Cole Perfetti is a better player than Nick Petan is, or was it, especially at that age. So again, I would urge people to go and check that out, because the kid was doing some things this year. And again, he's a kind of prospect. There's a number of prospects, right, that are going to have people salivating, but Cole Perfetti is definitely one of them.
There you go. Exactly right. We're going to get the Paul Maurice media availability up momentarily, and we'll bring that to you before we wrap up for this post game show on this Tuesday evening. A reminder, of course, Friday night, the final regular season edition of the Illegal Curve post game show will come after the Jets and the Leafs play, or the Moose and the Marlies, as the case may be. It's certainly not going to be. I'll tell you what, anybody who throws a body check in Friday's game deserves to be immediately suspended for the rest of the game. Just to give them a game misconduct if there's anybody out there throwing a body check on Friday between the Moose and or the Jets and the Leafs, because there's no reason for anybody to do anything extra beyond absolutely going through the motions in Friday night's game. So I don't think you're going to see a ton of analysis or a ton of breakdowns of what we're going to happen on Friday, because I know that I don't really want the game to happen. I know that the players definitely don't want the game to happen. Everybody's now focused on the Edmonton Oilers, and in the case of the Toronto Maple Leafs, of course, the Montreal Canadiens, and that's what we're going to focus on come Saturday morning with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. That's speaking at 9 a.m. you know, Saturday.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, speaking of body checks, I forget if it was at the end of the first period. I think it was at the end of the first period.
Second. Are you talking the Lowry one?
Lowry hit on Rathbone. And actually thought Rathbone looked good, right? Like Harvard product, like, he's a top prospect for the Canucks for sure. And he drew a penalty. I think it was Stastny that took the penalty. I forget. It's 20 to 11. It's past my bedtime, boys, but Lowry absolutely crushed Rathbone. And I like that. Like, I like the fact that Lowry was throwing his weight around, but I agree with you, Drew, on Friday night between the Jets and the Leafs, that's definitely not going to be a slugfest. That's just going to be one of those games where they play, somebody wins, and then the playoffs start. And that's when it really matters.
And I think it's going to be like the Golden Knights a couple games ago, where I'm sure the Jets, if they have their druthers, might only play 15 players or so, because of the Golden Knights had to do that last night because of salary cap restraints.
And they almost won, too. They lost.
Yeah, I know.
They only lost by a goal to the Avalanche,
too, by the way.
I think everybody's ready for the playoffs to begin. I mean, all the 16 teams, the 16 playoff teams have been set. So people are ready. People are champing to get started for the real postseason at this point. Yes, well, David.
I was going to say, as an aside, how weird is it that teams like Patrick Laine has already done his exit interviews? I think he's probably already back in Finland. Like, it's such an unusual year.
His Givenchy shirt.
But it really just goes to what we talked about on Saturday with O-Dog, and what we've talked about amongst ourselves. It really is like this North Division is so tunnel vision. I have no idea when I'm hearing like Buffalo's already having, I mean, that sounds insane. What's going on in Buffalo?
That's a trash fire coupled with a tire fire coupled with a nuclear bomb.
No. But it's crazy, right? So you've got all of these guys who are like all these teams that are having their exit meetings, and you're thinking to yourself like, exit meetings, practice. By the way, wasn't it like the 20-year anniversary of Allen Iverson saying practice like a week ago? As another more than
AI. Yeah, it was 30. 2001? It was something. No, 2001 would make sense,
I
think.
Yeah, I think it was
about 20 years. Yeah. But, you know, look, how many weeks ago did I say to you guys that this last sort of month of the season was going to be an absolute slog?
You did.
And I did not expect it to be a slog where the Jets were going to lose 9 out of 10 games. I didn't think that was really going to be possible, but you know, clearly it did happen. So I think it's for all teams, especially the teams that had really established themselves as, you know, no doubt playoff teams, you know, 3 weeks ago and a month ago. And that was most of the teams. There really haven't been any to speak of playoff races, at all this year. And that's, I don't know what, if that's a byproduct of COVID. I don't know if that's a byproduct of the schedule being so screwed up, whatever it might be a byproduct of.
I think it's also a byproduct of the divisions being pretty crappy.
Well, yeah, that there's, you know, there's four good teams and then there's four lousy teams, pretty clearly, pretty well defined in all the divisions. And I think that just goes to show that's why that these last few weeks have just been such a grind. And, you know, to be perfectly frank, it's sort of fortunate that the Jets have struggled so much because it's given us something to talk about. I mean, if the Jets had been, 500, or if they'd been average this entire time, you know, win a game, lose a game, win a game, lose a game. I mean, you'd be like, can we just get on with it already? No, at least. But the fact that they've struggled so much, it's given us something to talk about. And given Dave, your mic's muted, so I don't know what you just said. But it's given people something to focus on.
Sorry, I muted myself. I self-muted myself.
At least you heard what you said, Dave.
Yeah, I heard what I said clearly, actually. But you didn't. I know. I was going to say. So you're enjoying the angst, if you will. It's helped keep.
He's enjoying the John angst.
Well, there you go. It's a call back to earlier, but yeah, the angst has at least given us a topic, something to discuss. I mean, it really would be pretty. It'd be pretty dull. if there's a Leafs post game show or an Oilers post game show, and I don't know if there is or there isn't in this kind of format, they run out of topics at this point in time a little bit. Well, they've clinched first again, and they're still in first.
Well, exactly, but it's like you said earlier. Excuse me, Drew, am I on mute? What's going on here, Dave?
No, I was going to say I wanted to interject quickly. Drew, come on, in a Leafs or Oilers, they'd be talking about what they ate for breakfast. I'm sure they would find something to talk about to vacillate on for 2, 3, 4 hours. Come on, Drew. Sorry, Ezzy.
You're right. You know what my point was, though.
I did. I just wanted to interject.
Andre vacillate. Thank you. Like Vasilevsky. Yeah, I mean, I don't think we expected this, guys, back in January, right, when the season started. Like, I think we expected, you know, at least a couple of these divisions to go right down to the wire. But yeah, you nailed it, Drew. I mean, like, these divisions have been talk heavy, right?
You expected the Jets to be fighting tooth and nail to, you know, competing for that final playoff spot with the Canucks and with the Flames. And the Canucks and Flames just had terrible years altogether. I mean, we know that the Senators, you know, had that terrible start that almost, you know, prevented them from really being anywhere near a playoff team all season long. But, you know, it's just sort of a reality is just that, you know, any playoff race that people expected, nobody accounted for Calgary and Vancouver being as lousy as they are and were all season long. And that's
but you know really what I mean, though, Drew? Like, no, you're right. And I think we all expected the West to be like, we all knew at least three of those teams were getting in, right? Like Minnesota and Arizona were probably the teams that you were thinking were going to battle it out, right? In the West division. But the division to me, that's been, I don't know what the word to describe it is. I mean, we talked about the Sabres earlier, but the East division, right? Like you expected the Rangers to be better. You expected the Sabres to certainly be better with the, you know, the Taylor Hall and Eric Staal acquisitions, but that division has been the best example of a top heavy division. So yeah, I mean, the last 2 or 3 weeks haven't been the most exciting. And unfortunately the Jets lost 9 of 10 games, but you know, luckily, they won the game tonight, and the playoffs are going to start pretty soon.
Final word for tonight will go to Jets head coach Paul Maurice. Here's his post-game media availability.
I think I'd get on some better ones than that one. I would say the best ones are the ones where you just tell the truth. So I haven't been as concerned about our last 2 weeks as you might think. And I just conveyed what I feel is a really important progression for a team that so I think when you look at our year, We talked about the ups and downs of the North Division of being in Canada, that they would be extreme. And a seven-game losing streak is an extreme event for sure. But I think what we went through is really, really important. And I think we have a far, far better chance of winning now than we did 3 weeks ago. And none of that actually has anything to do with the words that I used. It's just that was the that was the kind of underlying feel that I had going to the room just to convey that to the team. We have a chance and an opportunity to kind of come out of this 2 or 3 weeks that we've had and be a much, much better team. And none of it's going to make it easier or look good. We've had to scratch and claw here. And I would suggest, and go back to all of your predictions at the start of the year, certainly the national predictions, a bunch of them didn't have us making the playoffs. And then we got to this level and, got very excited about that level. And then it disappeared on us. And then to the other end of the spectrum, it was terrible. So I think my speech might have been shorter than my answer. But at the end of it, I would say I told the truth about how I felt about where we were at.
We'll go next to Sean Reynolds from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Sean.
Thanks, Barry. Hey, Paul, you talked about easy scoring up in the playoffs. Was what we saw an example of the kind of scoring you expect from your team in the playoffs?
Yes, there's a whole bunch of those goals that Appleton's goal, when you take a look at the screen that Lowry had set, Scheif's shot tip. And then there's some other things that'll happen. I mean, the Wheeler goal, pass to Kyle Connor back to Wheeler. I mean, that's special stuff. And that comes out occasionally, but it can't be what you rely on. So I thought that our offensive zone play, with the exception of about 10 minutes of the second period, was right on, exactly what we needed.
We'll go next to Carter Brooks from Game On. Go ahead, Carter.
Hi, Coach. You had a few of us stumps here when we saw who was coming out for the opening lineup at the start of the game until we kind of figured out what was going on. Can you tell us a bit more on that decision as to play those veteran players to start?
So each one of those fellas by position were games leaders, right? So, you know what? You kind of put yourself in the players, maybe how he feels, right? So it's your 1,000th game. That's a big deal. And you want to share that with people. You want to share that with men. So I couldn't pick friendships. I couldn't pick, because I don't know the answer to that question. Who Paul is closest to, what are the five guys that he's closest to? So we just went in and said all of the guys that are games leaders by position would stand at the blue line. And it would be a moment maybe that would make it special for him. Certainly Blake at 980. I think we had Ben's at 555. Tomer's at, he just passed one. He's at 820, I think, is the right number. I'm not going to remember Josh's because he's at like 349. And then Ellie was 314. So those were the numbers of the guys going out to the game tonight, and I thought that would be special for him.
We'll go next to Jeff Hamilton from the Winnipeg Free Press. Go ahead, Jeff.
Paul, in your mind, what's the difference between your team finishing their opportunities and getting snaked?
The 2 seconds before, right? The anticipation of an elite athlete that a shot's coming and has to be released. So that would be you ever read that Malcolm Gladwell book? He's talking about the guy that could pick out the double faults from a tennis server by watching TV, and he had a higher percentage than everything else. It's those elite people, you can't see it on TV, how they change their body and how they get their puck to the that's a it's a feel, right? So when you're feeling good and you're feeling right, everything happens for you, right? It doesn't pop over your stick. You're a half second early or a half second late, or whatever it is that makes these men great. That's in them. It's not something you can kind of coach them or say, well, if you shift your body here, it's, they've done it 1,000 times. And when your mind is right, I think you're just in that zone where your body does the right things.
We'll go next to Murat Atesh from The Athletic. Go ahead, Murat.
Thanks, Gregor. Hi, Paul. I almost want to preface this by saying congratulations on the win, clinching third and getting a win on Paul Stastny's night. But Blake Wheeler was asked about playing through cracked ribs early on in the season. And he said that as long as he felt he was able to contribute, he was good to go. That's something I have to be honest. I don't understand where that comes from. Can you make me understand that decision by a hockey player and also the decision to play him substantial minutes as a coach?
Okay, so we're playing in Dallas my first year here. And Blake gets hit into the door late in the game and crawls out the door down the hallway. I'm about to scratch his name off. And he's back on the bench about 3 minutes later, right? There's still time on the clock. We're down a goal. And I'm thinking that's not possible. So every player is different. Before anybody plays, the doctor decides whether this is just a pain thing or this thing can get worse. So it's cracked ribs. I mean, it's a pain thing. He has an incredibly high tolerance for pain. And at the same time, I'm going to watch that game. And if clearly he can't play the game, he's not going to play. But Blake would be a guy that has, over the time that we've gotten to know each other, would have a real wide latitude of what I would allow. I'm not talking about from a medical point of view. I'm talking about from a coach's point of view. Can he play? He comes in, he says that he can play. I mean, he's done that 2 or 3 times a year, every year that I've been here. He played with a broken heel at one point. The list of injuries that he's played with that nobody would ever know about, and his production never fell off. And you kind of after thinking, going, how did he get through that? But he just does. So we don't, and this is a really important part to this answer. We don't put players in harm's way. We will give them, there's nothing kind of above the shoulders that they have any room on. But if it's a pain tolerance thing, then you're going to listen to your guys. So Blake and a fellow by the name of Robbie DeMaio are the only two players that I've ever coached that could play with cracked ribs. And Robbie, he played with them and threw hits. Still don't know how he did it. And Blake played the way he played. So I also knew that he was going to goes back to one of the questions. I said, give it 2 weeks and I'll have a different answer for it. That was the window on that injury. He would come out and be healthy.
And final question, Tim Campbell from NHL.com. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, looking forward, what do you foresee in a series against the Edmonton Oilers?
I'm going to answer how you stop Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl 412 times. And if I'm any good, I'm going to give you 412 answers. Just told him one of them's right.
Does Paul Maurice hope that he's right in getting one of those 412 answers, but how to stop Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl? Jets fans also hope he's right with one of those answers. So a bit of a much more relieved Winnipeg Jets head coach Paul Maurice, I would say, with tonight's post-game comments referencing, if I got it correctly, Malcolm Gladwell, Rob DeMaio. What else did I miss there? Any other sort of off the wall comments from the Jets head coach tonight? But certainly you could feel the pressure for one night only, at the very least.
Relieved, yeah, absolutely.
And off the shoulders of the Winnipeg Jets head coach.
Right. And I don't know if it was because we're at the end of the season, boys, but he was going on about Jeff Hamilton asked the question of the Free Press. And I'm not really sure where Maurice was going with that answer at certain points. I like the question from Murat about, you know, Wheeler and the cracked ribs. You mentioned the Rob DeMaio, you know, kind of an obscure NHLer from the 90s. But yeah, I think Paul Maurice, you could tell that he was relieved, and he was, you know, you mentioned the 412 reasons why you need to shut down Connor McDavid. I'm not sure what the significance of 412 is, but, you know, like, it has to be relieving to get the win tonight over Vancouver, just so you don't have to talk about another loss, right? And then obviously, you know, the game coming up on Friday is going to have even less meaning than tonight's game. So yeah, pretty entertaining post game for Maurice there.
Exactly right. Let's wrap it up. It's 11 o'clock. We turn into pumpkins if we go much longer. And of course, we'll be back at it Friday night.
I actually just eat pumpkin pie. I don't turn into a pumpkin.
Well, we, you know, and we'll let you go do that privately off camera because nobody wants to watch that. We'll be back Friday night, of course, with the Illegal Curve post-game show. That'll happen right around 9:30, give or take, where we'll talk about the Jets and the Leafs and the regular season finale. And then Saturday morning, mark it in your calendar, 9 a.m., the Illegal Curve hockey show. Comprehensive, in-depth preview of the Jets and the Oilers. This isn't going to be your sort of skimming the layer, the top of the layer preview. We're going to dive deep into these two teams, get you ready for that first round playoff matchup. It's now official. Lord knows Jets fans, especially Jets fans 1.0, have some traumatic memories about playoff series against the Edmonton Oilers. We'll see if the Jets are able to flip the narrative, change the script, and maybe rewrite history from how it had been for so long in the 1980s and the early 90s. Yes, David?
Well, I was going to say the Oilers fans are happy because I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, but I think every time the Oilers have won one of their five Stanley Cups, They went through Winnipeg. Jets. So it's always an opportunity for folks in Edmonton, especially of a certain vintage, relishing this opportunity. But we'll see if that history continues, or the Jets can flip the script and rewrite a new history here in this first round of the playoffs.
Absolutely right. And it all starts with the Illegal Curve hockey show on Saturday morning, a comprehensive preview of the Jets and the Oilers. Want to say a big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Bernstein's Deli, and Boston Pizza. They support those fine local businesses because they support the Illegal Curve hockey show. If you want some more post-game conversations, our buddies Kenny and Rennie, Ken Weeb, Sean Reynolds, they're up next. They've actually already started, so you can head over to their YouTube page for their post-game show. Dave Minuk is in the top right. Ezra Ginsberg is below us. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Until Friday night, right around 9:30, we wish you good night and good luck, and thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show.